себе найти Творца.
We continue studying the article Finding the Creator Within. The part is called Attainment of Spiritual Properties. The person should reveal two aspects of the spiritual. It should not be imaginary, and its attainment should leave no doubt. The term spiritual indicates that, like air, it has neither limits nor form. However, as the reality of air is obvious in the person's perception, so is the spiritual reality. What does it mean? It means that we do not attain the property itself. We apprehend how it is dressed in our kelim. We do not attain the light. It's incomprehensible. We do not feel it outside of our kli. We define the light like something which is felt in the kli. So actually the name light is incorrect. We imply that it is outside of our kli, that we feel something which is felt outside of us. Actually the light is the reaction of the kli to something which fills it, which is inside it. So this reaction, this response should be quite tangible, obvious. It's not what I imagine. It should be precisely measured, reproducible. Other people can reproduce it, measure it, like me, and out of this derives the science. If this data is uncorroborated by other researchers, or if the Kabbalist does not see what he reads in the book within himself and cannot measure it accurately, then the sensation is not considered spiritual. What does it mean that attainment should leave no doubt? It should be graduated precisely inside the four faces of the kli. And it should be clearly registered inside the kli, in its rishimot, in the Kabbalist has to know how to register it and return to it. This is a sufficient condition for speaking about Kabbalah and those who attain it. In principle, the attainment of the upper world should occur according to the same principle, in the same way a physicist researches our material world. So the revelation of the unknown part to the person, or something which man perceives with his five senses, so it is the same approach. Either a person is within the framework of material world or exists in the spiritual world. Do you have questions? No questions. Good. The need to attain the Creator. The mind desires to attain the Creator because this aspiration is imprinted in its nature. Since the light created the Kli, Kli's desire is to reveal the source which fills it. So any of our desires boil down to the revelation of the source of delight. The pleasure that we feel per se is insufficient from the four phases of the direct light. We know that when the light filled Bhina Aleph, it generated in a desire to the Shorish, and the result of it was Bina, because from this Bina Malchut attains the Creator. There are two desires in Malchut: to be filled with the light, and the second desire is to attain the source of the light. So it's not enough to chase the filling. So the mind desires to attain the Creator, and this desire prevails over the desire to be filled with light. And we see it in the restrictions that Malchut performs. We know that Bhina Bet is born from the Bhina Aleph by annulling itself. It agrees not to receive anything, only to attain the source. And from this we can perceive our own action as compulsory. If we feel this desire for the source, if it appears in us, it will help us to relinquish all other desires, so we can elevate the importance, the significance of the Creator to such a level, then the filling of our desires of this world would cease to be important. That's the principle of correction. That's how we work on our free will, and that's how we use the group, so that the Creator, His greatness, what I receive from the group, that the Creator Himself is much more important than the filling itself. This desire is not limited by the Creator's attainment. It is manifested with regard to everything that is concealed. We have no idea what the Creator is. Everything derives from that root, from that source. All our adventures, all our quests, all our searches, sciences, everything that attracts us in this world. That's why the inspiration for knowledge, the thirst for knowledge, is a camouflaged desire to reveal our root, our source. So man's aspirations for the concealed stems from this. The attainment of the Creator, it aspires to discover the mystery of life incarnations, the secrets kept in the hearts of other people, etc. Man feels that something is concealed from him, that there's a part which has to fill him, that we are all parts of one common clay. So we aspire to discover all the secrets that are kept from us. The attainment of the created beings is an action directed at the surrounding people. If only one were created in the world, it would not have aspired to such an attainment. The attainment of the Creator is an action which the soul makes regarding itself. Its structure, avaya, constitutes the state in which it perceives itself as the creation. Everything drives it to the desire in which it feels the Creator. The intensity of the sensation, determines the soul's capacity. We have two aspirations for revelation. The revelation of what surrounds us, and it derives from the breaking of the vessels. It's just a means of achieving, revealing the Creator. And naturally, by aspiring to reveal our connection with what surrounds us, we need to set a goal to merge with the Creator, to discover Him. The common soul of Adam was split, was fragmented, in order to give us an opportunity to work with each other for the sake of merging with the Creator. So, everything should be aimed at the revelation of the Creator, so that the descending order would be similar to the ascending one. Attainment of the Creator. No questions. So how can we perceive the Creator if it has no material form? This is possible only in a new awakening desire. Thus we can speak about the spiritual and its laws. So, actually, nothing around us has any material form, because we automatically receive all the material forms and images, because our perception does not require any corrections. It feels the surrounding world without any preliminary corrections. But if you want to feel something more than is perceived automatically in our kelim, then we need to acquire the screen and begin correcting our desires in correspondence with the Creator. So we say that the Creator has no material form. What does it mean? Because He is not perceived in our desires automatically. We feel Him only to the extent of the equivalence of form, a similarity of our properties to His. Or we can say it in a different way. The upper light is manifested inside our kelim in its minimal form without any preparation from our direction. The created kli perceives the Creator in a very minimal way, and this minimal portion of our perception is called this world. These are our inner sensations, and this is how we perceive the Creator. In our predetermined, uncorrected desires, so out of the entire tremendous, enormous desire that was created by the Creator, there's a small desire, and the light can be manifested in it, in defiance to all the restrictions and limitations. This minimal way of existence, in spite of the general law of the universe, is called man in this world. Why is it designed this way? From this neutral point, which is outside of the spiritual, we can start attaining the spiritual, being absolutely disunited from spirituality. Hence, our earthly desires, so-called earthly desires, are invariable. And what we need to correct is the rest of this enormous desire. It can be realized only if we acquire this cream, if we are similar to the Creator's properties. Then what is manifested in the Kli with the help of the screen, we call it the revelation of the Creator. And since they're partially revealed to us, they're called the worlds. And the Creator's revelation to us is called spirituality, because it is based on the principle of bestowal, on the principle of the equivalence of form. Whereas our world is called material, because its foundation is the egoistic desire to receive pleasure. So the Creator has no material form. This is possible only in a new awakening desire. Thus, we can speak about the spiritual and its laws. How can we speak about the spiritual laws in accordance with our corrections? If I corrected myself with the help of the screen, then in correspondence to this action, I feel the light. So I speak about my desire, about the correction of this desire, and about the light which fills it. And speaking about the corrected property of the Kli, I can speak about the property of the Creator. So I call my own correction the Creator's revelation. How can we feel the Creator for the first time if the Kli is absolutely uncorrected? No, we cannot. There's no way. We say that until the Kli is corrected, but somehow it wants to be corrected, to establish some contact with the Creator to the extent of its desire, and if it's possible to make this desire closer to the Creator. The light influences the Kli, but is not perceived inside it. But it's impossible to feel the Creator at this stage before the Kli corrects itself. What does it mean, the Creator? It's the measure, the extent of my correction that I feel. There's nothing like something is before me and I feel this outside object. It does not exist outside of me, objectively. I never speak about it. It's called Atzmuto, the Creator's essence. I'm not speaking that I put on my spectacles and I see it clearer, better. Outside of me, there is nothing. I have my egoistic desire. I correct it, transformed it into the altruistic desire with the help of the correct intention, and in this new desire, I feel some results. These results, combined with my desire, give me the picture which I call the Creator. I call it the Creator. Why do I call it this way? Because I feel my corrected property and feel something in Him. I feel His essence, his property. I do not feel my egoism. I do not feel my screen, the resistance to egoism. I feel the result, and I call it the Creator. I feel that I was created by this property, although at the moment I am absolutely opposite to it. Why was I created this way? Because he wanted to give, to bestow, so he created me as the receivingly. Everything is attained within. And my corrected properties, with what I feel in them, I call the Creator. So there's no Creator outside. It's something that is born inside of me as my corrected part. So why do we speak about merging with the Creator, about the equivalence of form, that He exists and I exist? Because we speak about ourselves as a desire, and we speak about Him as a something which is manifested inside this corrected desire. It's impossible to feel, to perceive the Creator outside of the clay. It's just the way, it's a figure of speech, that's how we express it. But in fact, it's impossible. Everything is felt, is perceived inside the clay. Question? Yes. How can an absolutely egoistical clay of this world aspire for correction and not to satisfy its needs? To this end, there is the light, which by distancing itself from the clay and approaching it, it gradually creates such prerequisites inside the clay that beside the desire form the mechanism of memory, the mind, and the clay begins to feel that it's possible to suffer and enjoy. And it begins analyzing and sees that the direct use of the desire leads to suffering, and a different mode of using the same desire leads to pleasure. This way, the light compels the clay to create beside itself the mind. And in this case, the clay acts not automatically by desire, but with the help of the mind. And it learns that with the help of the mind, it can achieve pleasure. Without it, it suffers. When we approach the Mahsom, our aspirations become indivisible. We do not differentiate between filling ourselves and filling the Creator. We understand that they are the same. Lolishma and Lishma merge. I imagine myself and the Creator as two objects that love each other. So it doesn't matter for me to bestow to Him or to receive for myself. This difference disappears. It is similar to a situation when a person loves someone in this world and he cannot distinguish between giving something to his beloved one or receiving something. So the egoistic action turns into the altruistic one because the person feels that it's good for the Creator too. The mind is defined by the person's sensation in the analysis of truth and falsehood. This is the Creator's part given from above. So we have our sensation in the desire, pleasure or suffering, and the sensation in the mind, which is called truth and falsehood. If we can distinguish, separate one from another, analyze them separately, and manipulate with two kinds of analysis, truth and falsehood, we rise above the animal level. An animal is one kind of analysis, sweet and bitter, suffering or pleasure. And it's quite sufficient for an animal to perceive this world and exist. Man's desires are a lot more than that. He has an additional desire. Which he cannot analyze with the help of the analysis of truth, of sweet and bitter. Sweet can be harmful, whereas in the case of an animal, sweet and useful coincide, but in a human being, they are separated. If the person in his human desires can act in the framework of the analysis truth and falsehood, he can act correctly without taking into consideration the analysis of sweet and bitter. He analyzes everything from the standpoint of truth and falsehood. The truth is approximation to the Creator, and falsehood is remoteness from Him. So our analysis should be transferred from our feelings, emotions, to the mind. This is called the rush of Pratsuf. When this analysis is completed, we proceed to the Guf. We need to make our rush similar to the Creator's. Our head, the rush of the spiritual Pratsuf, is non-existent. Initially, we form it with the help of our aspiration to analyze our desire to receive pleasure and to work with it only with the intention to bestow delight upon the Creator. This is the material from which our rush is built. Three first degrees of aviyut depend on the extent of the greatness of the Creator in our perception. So the analysis, the truth and falsehood, is something we need to pay attention in the first place. Although we pay attention to it, and I remember about this analysis, but my desires still compel me to do what they want. So when I gradually discover that my desires oppose my mind, I come to the realization of evil, of my desires. Then they clash, and I begin to see that my desire works and is detrimental for me. And this process is called realization of evil, and I see how harmful my desire is for me. Yes, Gleb.
Вопрос из Нью-Йорка.
A question from New York.
Как можно показать человеку?
How can we show to the person from the side that the aspiration for the Creator is preferable to chasing material pleasures? How can we show the person that bestowal is better than reception by personal example? We learn that the environment can influence us. We, by our environment, we mean the books, the teacher, and the group. These are the only three factors that can enable the person to understand that bestowal is of any value. When the group gives you the example of importance, since we are parts of the common soul and we are united within the soul, so by my nature I submit to the opinion of the society. I want to receive it from them. It exists in me naturally. So if my environment, my society prefers bestowal to reception, then I share their view and begin to think in the same way. Only by receiving this example from the society. What's the idea of uniqueness of the Creator? No, it's please stick to our topic. The mind is defined by the person's sensation in the analysis of truth and falsehood. This is the Creator's part given from above. It has nothing to do with imagination and is exclusively determined by sensation. It is called reality and transpires in the laws and modes of action. This law is defined as the mind itself and its image, and is a part of the Creator. Hence, this image is revealed in the sensation of oneself and one's reality. So if we work within the framework of the analysis, truth and falsehood, and realize it correctly, what we feel as a result of this process can be called the Creator. Then this image is revealed within us, is correct, and our sensations are adequate. So what is performed in the Rosh of Partsuf and what happens inside the Partsuf afterwards provides us with a sensation of the Creator. The image in this law is a complete and constant form of its state, which cannot disappear completely or partially. It is called necessary and essential without any additions or reductions. So, what we receive is perceived as absolutely complete and sufficient. You may say that, well, we do not understand what is the abstract form and the Creator's essence, but for this we have no inner prerequisites in order to feel any desire for it. We do not feel that we lack it, as we do not feel that we lack the sixth finger on our palm. Maybe it would be better to have six or seven fingers, digits on my palm, but I cannot know at the moment how am I going to use them. The same is true with the image of the Creator. Our sensation of correctedness, correction, provides us with absolute satisfaction and contentment, because the light created the Kli, and this is the way it wishes to be attained by the Kli. In other words, if the Creator's revelation were a compulsory law, there would be no need for the wisdom of Kabbalah. However, the Creator reveals Himself according to His own desire and not by compulsion. So the Kli should act voluntarily of its free will. Yes, Паша. On the one hand, we say that the realization of evil in our nature can be seen only against the Creator, when He is, He can be perceived. So, how can we understand
it?
We are now in the state of double and regular single concealment of the Creator. Can we call these periods the realization of evil? Yes, we can. What's the meaning of realization of evil? I realize that my egoistic nature is the reason for the Creator's concealment. That's the evil that I realize. With regard to what I feel my egoistic nature as evil, if it is evil, why am I not intelligent enough in order to steal and not be caught? It is not called the realization of evil. I reveal that my nature is bad, evil, and it does not allow me to steal. Thief is anyone who acts for the sake of reception. So I need to realize my evil with regard to the Creator. Then it is called the realization of evil. Not just that my egoism is evil, as many people in the world speak about it today. They speak about the destruction of nature, destruction of humanity. It's not realization of evil. In the framework of this world, people want to live more comfortably. It's not the genuine realization of evil. Realization of evil is possible when I stand before the Creator and I see that my egoism without the screen is opposite to the Creator. It is evil and it prevents me from merging with the upper force. Then it is perceived by me as evil. And only then can I begin correcting it. I demand the screen. But prior to that state, when we realize that the concealment prevents us from merging with the Creator, becoming similar to Him, I am not in this state of realization of evil. I do not feel the Creator. I either think that there is some upper force, and I try to establish contact with it in order to use it for my own benefit, take advantage of it. Attainment is possible only with the help of Kabbalah. The Creator requires no philosophical models as the proof of His existence. The Creator does not want us to come to a conclusion that He exists. This is not His goal at all. Only with the help of the wisdom of Kabbalah will the Creator's rule over the creatures be revealed. Why is this so? Because the method of obtaining the screen is called Kabbalah. This is the way it is called. So only the screen which we acquire on our desires, together with our desires, it creates the image of the Creator for us. I attain this image from within myself. The positive character of the reality should stem from the sensation of the Creator. When can I call my sensation positive, desirable? When I do not feel pleasure in myself, when I feel my equivalence of form with Him, it is called an absolute realization and brings the Creator's love and goodness, whereas the dry scholastic knowledge neither elevates nor lowers the person. So the method of Kabbalah is an absolutely practical method. If the person studies it without implementing it practically on himself, you should apply this knowledge during the studies, before it and after it. Kabbalah is realized practically. If there is a lesson and it wasn't implemented, it doesn't mean that you have learned your lesson. The lesson in Kabbalah is when you try to implement every new piece of information that you obtained. The result of the lesson is in your effort that you make in order to realize this knowledge. There's no theoretical Kabbalah and practical Kabbalah. It can only be practical. You hear this information and you put it into practice. Any theory should stem from the practical application of it. The perfect knowledge is special because evidence immediately turns into desire. What is the perfect knowledge? It is when you receive some opportunities that you can realize immediately. Well, we can speak about a lot of things here, but I repeat, the Baha'i Salam wrote these things for himself. Maybe he planned to make an article of it, but these are just separate notes. No, this is not the Creator's testimony. It's just a stated fact. If the person works within the analysis sweet and bitter, and when he passes to the analysis of truth and falsehood, does it mean that the mind controls the process? When the person's mind is a slave of his desire, then this realization, if the person feels it, then it is called realization of evil. But when he begins to correct himself and understands that an action becomes eternal and perfect only if it is bestowal, he acquires the screen and realizes his desires in the altruistic way, then his actions are called spiritual. Then his mind is directed not to fill himself egoistically, then this correct mind is called Rosh of the Pratsuf.
Леонид Макарон, Филадельфия.
Question from Leonid Makaron, Philadelphia. There is no creator, you say. At the same time, the creator wants us to be corrected. So how can we want something that does not exist? How can I want, aspire to something if I am absolutely opposite to the creator? We said it at the beginning of the lesson. We can act because we were created in this world. We think and act outside of the spiritual world. It's a remarkable, striking state. Colonel Macaron is right. The Creator created something which is called this world, in which something can exist, but no connection with the light, with the Creator, being inside the illusion that it exists by itself. So from the entire Malchut of the world of infinity, he takes a small area where there's no restrictions, no worlds, and this area can exist by itself. This place was formed as a result of many stages. Malchut restricted itself to such an extent when there is no light and only a minimal desire exists, but this existence cannot be called existence in spiritual terms. So the fact that we live here, this period is called the period of preparation. The acquisition of the minimal screen is called birth. And we, our existence is an illusion. We are just slowly waking up. And all the stages that we go through are necessary in order to prepare ourselves for some minimal spiritual level. No more. So all our actions in this world should be directed, should be aimed at this single goal. After the Mahsam, whatever happens there, we call life. But in this world, in terms of spirituality, it's not called life at all. In our world, in this small place which we call this world, we are absolutely suppressed by our egoism. We have no rush of pratsuf. The system of our mind acts only in the direction to fill our egoistic desires. As soon as we can transform this system, turn it around and begin to bestow upon the Creator, this transition in the intention for our own sake to for the sake of the Creator is called the spiritual birth. How can the person come to a realization that the egoistic desire is something that brings him suffering? And can it happen before the muksa? Well, the realization of evil should come before crossing of the muksam, and it can come only under the influence of his environment. Otherwise, the person will always think how to satisfy his desires, and then the suffering from not being able to fill his desires, they will be a realization of the lack of intelligence, meaning that I cannot steal as well as I would like to. So since the Creator is concealed, I can realize my evil only with regard to the group. This is the image of the Creator that I can perceive. And we can test ourselves with regard to this image. And the process that you go through is called realization of evil. What does it mean to realize the lesson that we learn? Anything that we learn today, it should enter our mind and feelings, and until we arrive at the next lesson, we need to work on it, absorb it. We need to try to find all these definitions in our feelings and in our mind, live them. This is the realization, the correct result of the lesson. We'll leave off here. By the way, today we studied the Rishimot, and I do not explain much about it in order to compel you to look for your own states in the Rishimot. What we study contains all of my states. We just need to find them. My past, present, and future states. So the fourth part of the study of this 10th Sferot is very important. We need to feel everything that we read about. We need to find the consequences of these actions in ourselves. They are all within us. So we need to think about it and try to feel them during the day. Is also the correct adaptation of the lesson.